1999 was the year the Indian nuclear satellite went out of control. No one knew where it might land. The whole world was alarmed. Claire couldn't care less.
Welcome to another episode of Ryan's Reviews. I'm your host, James Ryan, and on today's episode of the podcast, I'm going to be discussing 1991's Until the End of the World. A lengthy film, to say the least, with a runtime of 4 hours and 47 minutes. I'll get into that just a little bit later. Don't have a whole lot to say about it. I doubt any of you watched it to get ready for this podcast, but if you did, I will break down my thoughts here in just a few minutes. Before I get into that, though, I do want to talk about movie releases and movie trailers, as always. So movie releases, there are three big ones this week. Number one, probably being Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. This has to be the surprise of the year so far. It premiered at South by Southwest, I do believe, and critics absolutely loved this movie. There have been some D&D movies before, and I think this is the only one that is supposed to be of quality or even close to being a movie that is watchable. So yeah, Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. If you are a D&D fan, this might be a movie that you will want to check out. I myself am not, so I probably won't be checking this one out anytime soon. Maybe when it's available on streaming sometime later. I'm not sure. On to the other two big releases on this week. They are streaming service exclusives. One is Netflix's Murder Mystery 2, starring Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler, the sequel to Murder Mystery. So far, reviews on this one are pretty mixed. And the other one, I think, is Apple TV, and that is Tetris. Just the story of how Tetris made it to the United States and became this video game phenomena. So I'm definitely interested in that one, being a fan of Tetris. It's kind of one of the games I will play just to relax and wind down. So the movie itself is supposed to be pretty good. So I probably will check that one out at some point soon. Movie trailer wise, there was a new D&D trailer. Again, the movie released this week. There was a new trailer for Renfield, the vampire movie. Starring Nick Holt and Nicolas Cage. There's this movie called Joyride, which absolutely looks like a movie that is not for me. One Day as a Lion, also saw a trailer, and I don't know, this movie looks very confusing, and I'm not sure exactly what it's going for. But the cast looks pretty good. It has J.K. Simmons in it, so I don't know. The movie, though, the trailer, I don't know if it was the editing or it's just the movie itself is going to be confusing, but I had a really, really hard time following it, and I guess I wasn't paying as close of attention as I possibly could. But one movie that I am excited about, a new trailer dropped a little over a week ago, actually, and that is You Hurt My Feelings, a new A24 movie starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I hope I said that right. I haven't seen her in very many things. I know she's very famous from Seinfeld in the 90s. I've seen her in a couple rom-coms, like the one with James Gandolfini. I've not seen Veep, which she's supposed to be spectacular in, but this trailer, it's an A24 movie, and if you listen to the podcast before, you know any A24 movie I am in. Just very, very briefly before I talk about Until the End of the World, I did watch a documentary yesterday, Supergirl, which was leaving Criterion. And there's another movie I'll talk about in a minute that was also leaving Criterion that I ended up checking out. But Supergirl is all about this 9-10-year-old power lifter who set all these world records for her weight class and for her age group. And just as about her journey through the end of elementary school and middle school and balancing her religious upbringing with her main goal of just being the best power lifter she could be, seeing just the emotional and physical toll that takes on a kid her age. I'm pretty sure, and again, yeah, for somebody who's watched powerlifting and strongman for years and years and years, I'm pretty sure and studied it, you are really not supposed to be lifting weights as heavy as she was at her age, and you see the physical toll that it takes on her. Yeah, I don't know in the long term. I did look up just, and I guess she lifted for Rutgers, because the documentary came out in 2016, and it being now 2023, I guess she's, I think she's still in college, lifting Rutgers University. So I don't know. The documentary itself, if you're into strength sports, you might get something out of it. If you're not, I don't know. It was competently made. I enjoyed it, but again, not something you need to be like, oh, I need to. Absolutely need to see this movie. The other film that I checked out was Road Games, this Australian thriller about this serial killer who drives a green van. You find that out super quick. And it's really not about the mystery of it so much as this truck driver who, I didn't write the actor's name down, but man, he looks like George Clooney. It's just him kind of trying to get to the bottom of it and trying to confront the serial killer, but the serial killer at the same time is playing games with him and trying to frame this truck driver. Anyway, didn't explain it super well. It has Jamie Lee Curtis in it, and I was entertained by it. It's definitely a movie with a few good solid jump scares, has some interesting characters in it. The acting itself is pretty good. I had a good time with this one, it seems like a lot recently, and as I talk about Until the End of the World too, Until the End of the World was filmed on so many different continents, one of them being Australia. It seems like I've been watching a lot of Australian movies lately, The Proposition, Road Games, and even Until the End of the World has parts that were filmed in Australia. So yeah. Seems like, I don't know if that's subconscious or if I don't know, but I wasn't really planning on watching all these Australian movies, but here we are. But anyway, Road Games just left Criterion. Not sure where it is streaming right now, but I had a very good time with it. So check that one out if you want just kind of a fun hour and 40 minutes of just escapism, of just kind of just this little thriller. I had a good time with it. So on to the main event, and that is Until the End of the World, directed by Wim Wenders, a director that I've talked about before on this podcast, one of my all-time favorites. Like I mentioned last week, if you have not seen Paris, Texas or Wings of Desire, make sure to check both of those out. But this is a movie that is very convoluted, very, very hard to describe, just because of the length of it. It's not a movie where you're going to have a normal plot structure. The original movie, I believe, was split into two acts. This one just goes and goes and goes. The original cut of the movie was 20 hours. Wim Wenders wanted this five-hour version released, but of course, the studio that was producing it said absolutely not. Cut it down to about 3 hours. The film itself was a critical failure. And a box office failure, made very, very little money, but it was, I don't know, I should have written the year down, but I'm not sure exactly what year this re-release came out, the full 5 hour, and it's not even a director's cut then, because he's adding 2 hours to the movie. Yeah, this is Wim Wenders, the vision, this is what he saw, this is the movie that he wanted made. And I have to say, I had a really good time with this one. I watched it without stopping, which is an achievement in my book, just because there are times where it's very slow. And that's not that the slow parts were not interesting to me, but it's definitely going to be a film that challenges most viewers, just because there is just so much going on. And you're wondering exactly where this is going. And there is a clear split about halfway through the movie where I assume the original 3 hour cut, I assume that's where it was act 1 and act 2. There is a clear split in the story, but you don't know exactly what is going on at all times and what you're really supposed to be rooting for. It's kind of just following these characters and just seeing what happens to them. There is a love triangle in here. Sam Neill, famous from Jurassic Park, is in this as Eugene. I'm going to butcher this name, Solveig Dahm-Martin, who also is in Wings of Desire. And I looked her up after watching this movie. She died of a heart attack at the age of 45. She was dating or married to Wim Wenders for a while. But yeah, passed away super, super young. And William Hurt also stars in this one. And this movie, I think Solveig Dawn Martin does a really, really fantastic job because her character is just taken in all these crazy directions for 5 hours. William Hurt does a great job as well. But when it comes to some of the more emotional sequences of this movie, he tends to overact quite a bit, and that took me out of it. Sam Neill is fine as Eugene. Again, it's kind of Eugene and William Hurt's character fighting for Dawn Martin's, the character she plays is named Claire. They're kind of fighting over Claire and trying to, yeah, see where all of that goes. And yeah, it's a movie that has some very, very interesting things to say about, again, I feel like I've covered this a lot too, just with like, I'm watching a lot of movies that are talking about, and maybe it's just because of the news too, but I've been watching a lot of movies about just technology and like, again, this movie came out in 1991. Videodrome, which I reviewed last week, came out in the early 80s. I feel like both of these movies have something to say about technology and artificial intelligence and where it's taking us. I guess if you had to say, like, what is the focus of this film? it's really William Hurt's character, Sam, who is trying to... His father is this inventor, the scientist, and he has come up with a way to allow blind people to see using these glasses. And so it's William Hurt trying to capture loved ones with these glasses, just kind of like videotaping them in a way so that he can bring it to his mom, who is blind, and so that she is able to see. And so there is this technology piece. There is this, how far should we take this? And there's even maybe a 30 to 45 minute sequence in this that kind of talks about the dangers of these things, and people get lost in some of that technology towards the end. This film has some things to say about conflict as well, world conflict, and just, kind of how certain paths can lead to disastrous results or seemingly disastrous results. And I know I'm talking in generalities here, but that's kind of like, I don't want to give, as usual, I don't want to give too much away, but it's a movie that, I mean, I feel like I could, and it would be okay, but still, I think Until the End of the World is a movie that you should see at least once. It is a challenging movie, not just due to the length, but due to the pacing. But it is well acted. It does have some important things to say. And I actually very, very much enjoyed the ride. So if you haven't seen Until the End of the World, it is currently streaming on the Criterion channel. I would recommend giving it a watch. And for next week's episode of the podcast... Boom, 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 boom. 1991's, another 1991 movie, Cape Fear, a movie that I have seen fairly recently, but Bill Simmons just had it on the rewatchables. So I really want to watch it again and listen to that podcast. And then next week, I will give my own thoughts on it. It's a Scorsese movie that most people don't really bring up when they talk about his filmography. One that was in between Goodfellas and Casino. So I am looking forward to checking this one out. It does feature a terrific performance by Robert De Niro. Also has Nick Nolte in it. And it is based on a, I think, 1960s movie that had Gregory Peck in it, which I've also seen. The Simpsons famously spoofed this one in their Cape Fear episode, where they just added an E to the end of the title with Sideshow Bob trying to kill Bart, which is also a fantastic episode of The Simpsons if you want to check that out as well. But that's what I'll be talking about on next week's episode of the podcast. Hope you can join then. Just want to give one more quick shout out to First Playthrough, my video game podcast, where if you're listening to this episode, a Dead Space remake review has just dropped. I will be reviewing Zelda, Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword at the end of April. And then I'm not sure what the May game is going to be yet. It's either going to be Tears of the Kingdom or Resident Evil 4 remake. So if you can subscribe, follow, wherever you listen to podcasts, if you can follow First Playthrough as well, that helps me out. But thanks to everyone for listening to today's episode of the podcast, and hope you can join next Saturday when I review Cape Fear.